I greet you, greet you in the name of the Lord. Let me just give you a quick background. I've been coming to this place for, like 42 years, something like that. So it's not a stranger in that point. But the last couple of years, I didn't have the opportunity. I was greatly blessed in up until that point. Everything I ever had wrong with me is I had appendicitis, and it ruptured. But guess what? Miraculously, there had been a thing formed around it and kept the pulse in, and I didn't go out of this world. So I know the Lord was there, but this was before I knew anything of the Lord. I didn't realize he had another at a work for me at 33 years old. I and my daughter were languishing in the bed. My mother, my wife and the children had gone to her church that she was going to, and I had a desire. And I told my daughter about it. And so we went and got in the car. And I drove around to where the church was that I had seen, which I, by its way it was decked out, was no doubt that it was a Primitive Baptist church. Well, there was nobody there at the time, so I went next door. And they said, we'll have services on this coming next Sunday at night. And so I did, and that was the longest time I ever spent. And then when I get there, Elder Gene Thomas was the speaker, and I had known him through his visits down south in Alabama, so I knew him. And he got up to preach, and he says, my subject matter is going to be Bethel. Bethel is the name of my home church. And I said, well, what's he want to talk about the name of this year church for? Well, I didn't realize what Bethel meant. But Bethel is house of the Lord. And it's been a joyful journey up until at the end of the associational season in 2009. And I started going to the doctor. And in July of that year, they finally got around to running go in your lungs and see what's down there. And they found a monster, MRSA. Now, you may not know what that is, but that is one of the most dreaded diseases you can possibly have. They immediately put me in with a group of people, and they taught me how to do the intravenous stuff, and then I did it for myself. Got out of that, and just as I was getting through with that, says, oh, by the way, your results from the biopsy we took said you got a fungus in your lung. And so now another 6 weeks of that. But and in addition to all that, of course, I was somewhat weak. I loved to sing, and I couldn't sing a lick. I mean, I couldn't make one phrase. And up until just a month ago, I was still in that. And I have been blessed to come out of that. And I look forward with great anticipation to come here. Not to preach to you. I come to be preached to. Got your Bibles and want to turn with me to 1 Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, when I think about that, when it says, hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, you'll have to put yourself in the place of Peter and then go back and look in the four Gospels at what went on when they lost their Lord, when he'd gone in the grave. And they had no one example in the book of John. Find it in a minute. I'm too far over. In the 20th chapter of the book of John, and the let me just read this portion of it, because this will be enough of a foundation for what the other writers wrote about. It says, in the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth with that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, and yet when he was and yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeing the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now, we look back at, and from our standpoint, and we think, you know, how could they be so unaware? If you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of them, each of them three different times, tells them exactly what's going to happen at Jerusalem. And here we hear them saying, we don't know nothing about that. Luke, I want to read a passage from Luke. Chapter 24, I believe it is. Well, it starts out with that part of it, and I, again, about the first day of the week and about the Mary Magdalene and that type of thing. But what I want to get to is that verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together at all things, of all things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Now, just think now, if you try to put yourself, our Lord, we believed he was one that was going to save the world. And now he's done died and he'd been put in a tomb. And we got no hope. Our hope is gone. Our expectation is gone. And again, they just did not believe what was in the scriptures. Now, don't tell me why they didn't believe. I don't know why they didn't believe. I just know they didn't believe. We read it, we believe it. You know, it said over there in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, they were asking for a sign. And I know most of you know that he says, you're going to have one sign. And that sign is, as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the belly of the whale, you shall be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And then the resurrection. But now, don't tell me they didn't know. They just didn't believe what they had heard. That's the best way I can put it. We hear a lot of things we don't believe. You know, I pastored a church, and we had a member in it. And this was when they put the first man on the moon. And he just flat out would not accept the fact that we could put somebody on the moon. And he died in that shape. Now, that didn't change not one bit about whether or not we did put him on the moon. But we can be just that blind against this. Okay. And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, and before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides this, today's the third day since they were here. Now, if you and I knew that, and we believed that he was going to rise on the third day, where do you think we'd be? We couldn't get close to that place, because somebody would outrun us. We'd have been there first. We couldn't get close. But here they had plenty of room. Everybody was willing to run him. And it says, and we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They did not understand that by the very act of going on the cross, he redeemed Israel. Now, I'm sure that when the fullness of this engulfed them, they could go and preach in a way that was beyond belief. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day. And since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And they found not the body. They come saying that they that had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which went with us to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him saw they not. Then he said unto them, This is Christ, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then the next one is I would surely love to have been there. Because what he's fixed to do is, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And someone here today said there's more in the Old Testament about the Lord Jesus Christ than there is in the New Testament. And I agree with them. There's more information in the Old Testament that we're describing. I mean, it says here that the Lord Jesus Christ, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, that is Jesus, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The reason I said it's Jesus, because in a minute it says, and they drew near unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scripture? That's what the preaching of the gospel does. It opens your eyes, open the eyes of the blind. That's the purpose of it. Now, this is in the days when Peter had, they had their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ up to a point, but they didn't. Then it talks about here, it says, he hath begotten us again. Now, that means he had to get them first to get it to happen again. He had begotten them. He chose them, and they went with him. And they, as I read the Gospels, and I try to do that every once in a while just to keep my fresh up, refreshing, they were slow learners. I'm a slow learner. I can be claimed in many ways. You know, it's kind of like you're cooking a meal, and you know good and well that plate's hot, that pan you got's hot. And guess what? You stick your finger in the liquid to see if it's hot. It is. It sure enough is. So now that's dumb. Yeah, it's dumb. Stupid. And all that, but that's mankind, you know. But he says here, hath begotten us again to a lively hope. That's the same lively hope they had when they was been with him every day. Here it is again. Now he's got it again. And we know that in those brethren, they went out and went away. Their commission was to go and preach. That was the mission, and preach. And thank goodness they did. And now, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ to an inheritance. There's your word, brother. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, unless you are a believer, those words mean nothing. But if you are a believer and truly believe what those words say, it should encourage us each day when we get up. Let that be the first thing on our list. Let me today, Lord, do that which would be pleasing in thy sight, would be beneficial to me, and would abound to thy name's honor and glory. To an inheritance reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. We are safe and secure within the hands of the Lord. Thank goodness it's not left up to us, because we know what we do with it. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the coming of Jesus Christ, whom having seen, you loved, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and in search diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand that the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel. You know, we got some 300, quote, Christian organizations in the United States. Going to have a hard time with all them being right, ain't we? It's amazing how, like, and there was a lot said about this book this morning and the fact that the preservation of it, and also that there, if you need to be warnings to, you need to be careful. If you go into a bookstore, you better know your Bible, and if you get it and read it, start reading, you're going to find out it don't say what it now says, then you know you don't need that. But it has been started, it was started being assailed upon in the late 1800s. And it has slowly multiplied. And we got all kinds of people that are willing to accept that. We got primitive Baptists that don't even agree about what it says. And that's bad enough. Wait a minute. I don't know if I said that. I didn't say it like I'd like to say it. We got some primitive Baptists that say it in ways that I don't believe. Okay? I don't believe that. Now, I let this be my judge. You know, that's what it says. If you can't prove it by what this book says, then you better let it alone. You do yourself a whole lot more benefit to do it alone. And I know full well there's a whole lot of things in here that I don't know what he was saying and what he was talking about. The Lord has to open that to me. You don't just get the book and then just, you know, open it and pour it in. It don't work that way. Never has worked that way and never will. Okay. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and of the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now think about this in terms of, but you try to put yourself in Peter's position. We are quite a few times removed. They were chosen of God. He today is still in the business of choosing and qualifying those persons who are to go forth and to speak. We're not all alike by any means. And that's good. Because there's always some difference, and some things are visible in one person that you don't see in the other. And you say, oh, I've been saying that. That ain't right. You know, it's the worst thing you can have. I really have my heart goes out to a place where they have only one person, only one minister that they go by. I grew up in an association where every church had more than one pastor. That was just common things. Until one time we looked around, Brother Gene Thomas and I, and lo and behold, all those other brethren have enshrined them in the grave. They're gone. And we're it. And then I'm gonna tell this on Brother Darrell. he calls us up, called me up, and said, I got something I want to talk to you about. Well, when a church member says he wants to have something to talk about, I said, okay, be, all right, what is it? What, you know, can't be worse than, you know, got to be something bad. So we made arrangements to get together. And he had also called Brother Gene, and he had the same. We met each other and wrote together, and because we just knew, you know, he said, brethren, says, my problem is, and I'll just put it in my words, I feel like I have a call to the ministry. Now, you're talking about somebody coming in, getting in high gear and being up on top of the mountain. Hey, here's somebody. Well, Brother Gene and I, he's 82. I will be 81 in November. And then I'll catch him in November. We'll be 3 years different between us now, and he'll go back to two. But anyway, we've been blessed to have Brother Darrell, Brother Ricky Sr., Brother George Denmark, and Brother Randy Quillen, all showing signs of able ministries. And I feel so blessed to know that when I leave, we have one that's a very great leader already, run circles around me. But that don't bother me one little bit in the world. You know, I only do what I can do, and which is not much. I've been primarily as a what they call a expository. You start in a chapter and you think. But there's benefit to that, because if you can present it in the light and talk about the things that it's talking about, and you can communicate that to somebody in there, they can say, I can understand that. I can go with that. It's been bothering me, and that's often happened as we go around. May God bless you, as I pray for you. Come to see us. Now, we got some of you folks over here in beholden unto us. We went to the, tell me. Blue Ridge, the Sequatchie Valley Blue Ridge last week. We come over here this week. Now, we're expecting y'all to come. It ain't a bit further than over here than it is than it was over yonder. So y'all come to see us, and it'll be at my home church. We're looking forward to seeing you at that time. May God bless you, as I pray for you.